Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. What do you do when your boss or the company you work for seems to have no idea how to handle money? When their financial decisions spell sure disaster for you and everyone employed there? Today we hear about crazy money problems on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. Write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. And we'd love to hear your office horror story. Please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. That helps us tremendously as we're kind of in the beginning stretch of getting the show out there to everyone. So do that. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And even right now, we got something kind of cool going on. In fact, we're going to be doing this, I think, for all of 2020. Once a month, we're going to be giving away a $100 Visa gift card to what we're going to call our Employee of the Month, okay? It's not a plaque on a wall down a hall that no one goes to. This is $100. Basically, you can use it anywhere, a Visa gift card. If you're out of the U.S., some people ask me about that, saying, well, what if I live over here and they don't do Visa? If we pick you at random and you win it, I'll send you an American Express one or whatever works for you. And get that to you. That's basically $100 you'll win. If you do this, you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and then send me a screenshot of it to send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com. And then from all those entries every month, we'll pick one person at random and then you will you'll get that. So be pretty cool to enjoy as your reward as for supporting the program and being our Employee of the Month. So there you go. You ever been the Employee of the Month, Carol?
Two times.
Wow.
Two times.
What sort of perks did you get with that? Anything exciting?
I got $100.
Oh, someone also doing that.
And a good parking spot.
That's true.
And then one time I was employee at when I was bartending, but that was only because we made up the award. And I sang my praises, and I'm like, you haven't given away the Employee of the Month yet. And we never did that. And so at the end of the night, they went and printed me an award. So it doesn't really count, but it kind of does, even though I asked for it. But I'm like, if you're not going to give away the Employee of the Month award, like, why not start and make me the first one? I lobbied all night for that.
You know what I wonder about with Employee of the Month? It's something that's existed for a very, very long period of time. But we now have another generation of people going into the workforce, millennials. Or they've been, I am. I'm in the very tail, and I don't like to call myself a millennial because it was... I don't believe my birth date or the year, the early 80s, really kind of relate to most of the millennial.
No, you're more of a boomer.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But the millennial generation and whatever is after that, that's starting to get into the workforce. And there's so much of that, the upbringing there, where there wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Everybody gets a ribbon.
Everyone's a winner. Everybody gets this. So how long is it? Does Employee of the Month, is that still a thing at all workplaces, or has other workplaces had to kind of peel that one back and go, well, it looks like we have to give everybody to something to make them all feel special. And now they all get like a $5 Starbucks card versus the one person getting the $100.
I don't know. Cause you don't, I mean, it's not like when I'm hanging out with my friends, anybody's ever said, hey, I got Employee of the Month this month.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't heard anybody say that in a really long time.
Ever. Yeah. It's like, is this, has that changed? You know, because I could see that kind of being an issue where, where it hurts the morale more than it helps the morale. Whereas, as it used to be, it became a joke in many places. But the intent is to strive to get the perk if the perk is good enough. So it was supposed to be in its intent of this is something you should work for. But I think in so many cases, it's like, just embitters people and makes them, wow, fuck them. They didn't. I'm going to be a shittier employee because I didn't get, I think that's what happens more than it does. And in many cases, it's probably somewhat justified. I've seen a lot of people get that award where it's like, how the fuck did you give it to that person?
So what you're saying is I really don't need to put that on my resume if I ever need another resume.
Top line right there. That, even,
I was Employee of the Month two times.
Even before your profession and your name, just don't even put your name on the resume. Just put Employee of the Month. That's
two times.
That's all you got to do.
Times two. Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, the Employee of the Month. But anyway, sign up. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts and let me know you did it. Email to Tony at officehorrorstories.com. You'll be in the drawing for that and be our Employee of the Month. And we will definitely treat you like royalty. We'll give you the award and then ignore you for the rest of the year. So there you go.
Because you got the money.
Exactly. Exactly. 833-HATE-JOB. Our phone number, 833-HATE-JOB, to share your office horror stories with us or write it at officehorrorstories.com. First letter to your, today says, 2 weeks after starting a new job that I thought was going to be a dream job, my boss started berating my new coworkers and myself. The program we were working with was new, so there was no training and no one knew how to use it. If we made a mistake, he would tell us how stupid we were in an office with cubicles full of people. He'd yell at us, tell us we were stupid, we had no skills, etc. He'd explain something one day, then the next day tell us that we were wrong and that's not what he said to do, even though it was. Our objective was never clear. We walked in on him several times talking negatively to other employees about us. He'd stand behind us to make us nervous as we were working. We tried going to management about all the issues, but we were basically told that we were over-exaggerating and that he's a great guy. I should add that he was friends with the managers and moved with the company to a new state. The cubicles are right outside of the manager's office. We know they had heard what was going on. Because of this, my coworker and I still have a negative stigma here and cannot even go to another department because everyone thinks we are stupid. Our bosses have told us that he would not be supportive nor give us a good recommendation to another department because of what our immediate supervisor said. The supervisor is no longer with the company, thank goodness. He is one of the worst people I've ever met. I had never met such a despicable person and hope that I never do again. He ruined our career with this company before it even started. I hate to be a hateful person, but I hope in his future jobs he gets a boss just like himself. As for our current bosses, they are no better than just a little bit sneakier. They think we don't know what they say, but we do. We try to ignore it as we're both looking for new employment. The company was built on a friend and people were hired as managers that do not know how to manage. It's a joke because the managers here have no people skills. Hopefully we get out of here soon. What are your thoughts on that situation that they're in?
See, that kind of, I have 0 tolerance for poor management. Mm-hmm. Because everyone needs direction. And if you don't keep the ship running, it falls apart. And so when I like people like that, how do they even, like, even if they're really good friends with somebody, if that's your business, why do you want to put people in positions that can't handle it? You know, because the whole thing's run on the people working for you.
Sure.
If they're not there, you can't run a business if you have no employees and you need them. It's like, I just hate that.
Why?
I hope those people do get out of there. Why? They don't deserve that. They deserve better.
It's like, why is the sky blue? It's an interesting thing. Looking back at, this is not based on duration of time, because I would say probably for a lot of my career, the duration I've had, okay or good managers that were, I didn't have a lot of complaints about, but I've moved around quite a bit. So the number of managers, just going by the number of people, I'd say I had more bad than good. Luckily, the places that were good, I stuck around longer, so it was less, of a bad period of time. But if you just go by sheer numbers, I'd say, 3/4 were shitty. And it makes you wonder, because then the next higher ups, like whether it's the owner of the company or the manager of that branch, what the fuck? Why is it that it seems in so many cases the most unqualified people are holding those roles? And I think a lot of people feel that way. And it's not a jealousy thing. It's a, is it just because these people can kiss ass better, or they can manipulate better? I think that's what a lot of it comes down to, is your manipulation skills and being able to sell yourself.
I think some people interview really well.
Yeah.
And sell themselves really well. And then they get in the job and it's like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Hired that person? We didn't think that's the person we hired. And I mean, I've worked places where that's happened.
Yeah.
But, to me, I think that is negligence on upper management's part, mm-hmm. that they can't see that. Like, you shouldn't. And especially, is there a worse feeling at work than what they said about other people think they're stupid? Like, that really bothers me.
Yeah.
As manager, that's like, you help those people. So if you have people in the building saying that other people are stupid, like, number one, you can't talk about coworkers like that.
No.
You just can't. Like, of course people do, but not like that shouldn't get back to them at work.
No.
That's not a good work environment.
It should never be the manager getting caught having that conversation. It's one thing if coworkers are doing it, that's bound to happen. Not appropriate, but it happens. But it's a whole other if, like, you're hearing, well, the manager, was out with a coworker the other day after work and they were just going off about the employee below them. Like, that dynamic does not work. If you want to go out and be friends, that's fine, but you can't be pulling that shit if that's the dynamic that you're going to be, going.
And a good manager would step in to help that person reach their potential,
yeah.
rather than going around saying that person is stupid.
Or if they're not qualified and you're the manager, then they shouldn't be there. Then right. move them out. Then, but don't, yeah. Anyway, it's always kind of baffled me, the amount of people that get into those positions and you just go, I think I understand how you got there. You're a great manipulator. And those are the scariest people out there, because they were able to manipulate the good-hearted owner or the market manager or whatever you want to call it to get into the position. But then, like, they're in and it's like, oh shit, now it's really hard to fire you once you're in the door. Yeah. And they just got
to
kind of deal.
3 to 4 times what the
yeah.
entry-level people are making.
Yeah.
Maybe at least twice.
Yeah, and it's baffling sometimes how that works, but I think a lot that's a common complaint. No matter what industry you're in, how the fuck does that happen? I think it just comes down to your manipulation.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah, and that's why we have a show about this.
That's why you don't have a boss.
You're exactly right. I just fucking gave up. Although I honestly have to say, my last 10 years of professional life in a workplace were not bad. There's little things here and there, but for the most part, I really have my direct supervisors. I have no complaints. And I'm not just saying that it was good. It was a good, I left on my own terms. I was happy. I'm still friends with them to this day. I got a text from one the other day saying, hey, how's the podcast world going? I was like, hey, great. Good to hear from you. How are you? So that's nice. I like that. I like having left on a good term and not being in, an embittered situation of like, I fucking hate, that sort of thing. I have that of other companies I worked for. But
we have talked about that too. Like, you go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
Down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's, oh man.
Yeah. Never.
Shouldn't have said that.
Never a good thing. I did that once. I did go out in a blaze of glory. I was like 18 or so. I was young and I had a horrible boss. And literally I look back on it to this day, horrible boss. This was a guy who should have never been in the position that he was in. And he, this was the one who was firing people left and right that were really qualified and really good. And it was just like this crazy power trip this guy was on. This was the one where a newspaper called me and wanted comment as to what's going on in this building. And I remember when I left that building, some explicitives were said. I believe I called him by some dictator names as I was leaving the building.
Oh,
I'm like, thank you. And I won't go in, but yeah. And
and honestly, if there was a job down the road and you went in for your interview and he was the guy,
yeah,
you'd really walk in and go, nah, I don't think so.
It's funny because to this day, this individual is still employed with that company. Because they're a family member of the ownership of the company. So you really can't get out of it. But I know a lot of people who work for that company. And, you know, at the time I was young and I was just like, I'm going to stand up for everything. And I really would not just go along with the flow to keep peace. I was, you know, blazing. And so that was kind of my attitude back then. But it's funny because I hear stories from that company. I had dinner a year ago with a manager within that company, a totally different city, totally different part of the country. And I was like, yeah, I worked for them years ago. And then it was brought up that individual's name. And I was like, oh. I said, yeah, I have some fun, young, dumb stories of myself, of how I interacted back then. And the reaction I got was, Tony, he's exactly the same still.
Oh.
And he's like, I have the exact same problems that you did. And, you know, I'm like, I would have handled it differently now. And I get why you have to, you know, you're not a child like I was and you'd like to keep it employed. But it's like the same crazy shit that.
But then even if it is a family run business, yeah. Like, come on, doesn't somebody see it?
No. Well, when you're at the top of the ladder and essentially waiting for daddy to die, it's going to be kind of your company. So there's no one above this person that's going to do shit, you know, until you get to like, you know, HR legal standings and they say,
they have no HR department.
Well, they did. I mean, I got involved with the HR after I left and got some non-competes and everything removed because I had a lot of complaints that were never addressed and said, basically, you need to let me out of this non-compete. And this, because here's all these things that were ignored that I brought up to you. So all I want is just to be released from this. That's all. Or there's going to be some litigation involved. And then within an hour, the owner called me. And was like, what happened? And he's like, okay, well, we'll release you. Okay, thank you. Bye bye. Like, yeah, it was adventures. It's funny. It's like 20 years ago now. And some of that stuff still, you know. When you have those experiences for the first time in your work life, that shit sticks. I mean, I've had other run-ins later, but they are not as clear as day anymore. But some of those things still, you know, they resound with you because they're very impactful on just how dirty it can get sometimes. But yeah, good times. 833-HEY-JOB, the phone number to call and share your office horror stories with me. I'll tell you this much. Back then, I never thought I'd be doing a show where I could just let it all out. I always.
There's no such thing as a podcast.
No, there wasn't. This is great. 833-HEY-JOB to share your office horror stories with us. Let's go to our next one. It says, this one sticks out in my mind is a guy that I used to work with. He was a recovering addict, according to my boss, so he wasn't very strict with him. Two of us worked third shift cleaning the building we worked at. I think we only got along. Only got along the first 2 weeks he worked. He was constantly sleeping in our break room, would suddenly grab his backpack and run off to who knows where to do who knows what, and at least once had gotten in my face and tried to accuse me of holding him and another coworker of ours up, which almost had me walk off the job and quit because this was around the same time he had spent a whole shift arguing with his girlfriend on the phone. The worst thing he did, though, was when he ran a machine called a scrubber. It's a machine that people used to quickly clean an uncarpeted floor. Our workplace has two floors, and most of it is tiled on top of each floor, being several feet long and wide, so we need to use a scrubber to quickly clean our floors. Only our boss trusted him on it because when he'd run it, you could obviously tell that it wasn't he wasn't clear-headed. The first thing he hit was a glass panel on one of our escalators. Both he and our boss tried to cover up that he was turning too fast and hit it by blaming another coworker. Luckily, the higher-ups didn't believe them, and he was supposed to, for a while, be suspended. Neither one of them had learned their lesson, though, because he could run our new scrubber a few months after he returned. He hit a pillar while he was scrubbing and broke one of the tiles that were on it off. In fact, he didn't seem to care that he had done it. Along with everyone reporting that he seemed on of it while driving it on top of my supervisor, finally having enough of us, our boss not doing anything about the situation and going to his boss about it cost my former coworker his job. He eventually got a job somewhere else, and I put him out of my mind until I mentioned him to a security guard that had witnessed most of this taking place when he told me something that didn't stick to me as much as it should have. A few years after he was fired from my work, he ended up passing away. He wasn't old since he was only a few years older than I am, but the paper didn't say what he died from, so the guard assumed that he couldn't beat his addiction and that it finally cost him his life. I know it's hard to kick an addiction, but I'm not sure he ever tried to kick his. So I think that explains why he was running into shit on the job with the large piece of machinery. I guess that's why it's good to have random drug tests, especially when you're operating heavy machinery at work.
Yeah, that story, like, you know, you want to say all the funny things until the very end, and then you find out what happened, this poor guy.
Then it's like, oh.
And you feel sorry for him, and it's like, I'm sorry you had a bad employee-work relationship, but he's dead.
Yeah. It kind of, it puts a damper on the whole story.
Right?
There's so much shit we could have said.
Just don't have a lot to add.
I know.
Like, great. He broke the window thing by the escalator, but now he's dead. So
are you happy now?
Exactly.
No,
okay, go on to the next story.
Yeah. That that does not end well.
No.
But it is the reality of office horror stories. It is what happens.
Sometimes it ends in death.
Yeah. So there you go. 833-HOB, our number, or you can write in on the website officehorrorstories.com. This one says, I used to work at a veterinary hospital owned by the craziest person I've ever had extended contact with. The owner, we'll call her Mindy, was not a vet herself, but secured a rather large loan of $1.3 million to open this facility. It was apparent rather quickly she had no idea what she was doing. The highlights of her crazy, she spent almost the entire amount of the loan on such construction necessities as a $17,000 fish tank and a $13,000 reception desk. Hired a staff of almost 40 people with no plans for how to pay these people past the first month or two of business. I guess she just assumed she was going to open and instantly have enough business to keep the seven full-time vets she hired busy. Mindy would occasionally become paranoid and focus this paranoia on one person at a time. Every week or so, a new employee would become evil in her mind, and she would bitch behind closed doors about how employee X was out to get her. This person was nearly always a blameless hard worker who ended up fired. As previously stated, Mindy was not in any way a veterinarian. This did not stop her from walking around in scrubs with Dr. Last Name stitched on the front. She justified this by claiming she had a PhD in nutrition. Further research revealed she had purchased a degree online from a fake university. Mindy liked to claim that she was formerly married to a fighter pilot who was killed in some war, was never clear as to which one. Again, further research proved this to be quite false. She once used bleach to clean iodine stains from a white dog's fur after surgery. The dog ended up in an emergency clinic a few days later with chemical burns. Mindy, of course, denied any knowledge of how this had occurred. Mindy was a fairly skilled manipulator. When the paychecks dried up a few months into operation, was able to concoct stories about investors that were always days away from funding operations. She was thus able to keep a fair amount of the staff working for extended periods of time with no or little pay. She never paid any of the money deducted from paychecks for medical insurance to the actual insurance company after the first month. This, of course, resulted in numerous bounced claims for employees, one of which had a handicapped child. Long after I and everyone I knew had left, she showed up in the local newspaper. Apparently, she had not been able to pay the crematorium that handled pets' remains. Rather than admit the problem to customers, she started giving people fake ashes in cardboard boxes, claiming it was their pet. One person that was duped was named Carol Hughes. That quickly... I added that in.
Funny, Tony.
Yeah, that quickly discovered the deception when the crematorium called them directly to tell them that they still had the real ashes. Mindy didn't own the building we were in. She paid for the remodel. It had been a furniture store previously, but still had monthly rent. Well, she naturally got behind on the rent, and the landlord was threatening to kick her out. Her response to this was, have one of the receptionists call and pretend to be a representative from a bank that was about to approve her for a supplemental loan. A couple of days after the medical insurance thing came to light, a few people understandably quit. Mindy's response was to slit her wrists and go sit by the creek behind the building until someone noticed her. The quotes are there because the cuts were ridiculously shallow and she barely bled. She was just trying to use a sympathy card to keep people working for free. She was involved in a local dog rescue organization with some of her similarly batty friends. Most of the dogs were kept at one of the friends' residences. There were numerous complaints about the smell emanating from that house, and on at least one occasion, she had to leave in the middle of the day to go help them clean up a dog that had been torn apart by the others. I never saw the place myself, but apparently they just left 12 to 15 rescue dogs together in a basement and hoped for the best. Just to be clear, I stayed working there as long as I did because when paychecks did happen, we were paid a fair amount above the going rate for our jobs. Mindy had a relative working there as a manager who was mostly sane and would manage to wrestle money away from her as it came time to pay us whenever possible. Most of the background information I know about this person I know because I was rather friendly with him, and I left shortly after he walked out in disgust as well. There you go. That sounds like a lovely office place to work in.
That lovely whole story just pisses me off.
Delusional boss.
Especially when you got to the ashes part. Yeah. And then when you got to the rescue animals and they're just leaving them in a basement part. Like, all of that just pisses me off because there's people like me, although I would do research on a veterinary clinic. I wouldn't just go to anyone. Mm-hmm. But which I would probably not for myself do that, but I would for my dog. But you know, you trust these people with your animals. I mean, it's like, and then they're just taking advantage of you. So all of those things that that person just said, mm-hmm. there's a whole nother list of things happening that she didn't even know about.
Yeah, completely.
You know, like tests that are supposed to be ordered that weren't completed, and then they just make up some bullshit diagnosis or something. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know. You're saying this, and I assume that's right. You know, there's people who left there
yeah.
being told one thing that wasn't even the case.
You have to wonder, people that are like that, that are...
I used to know a person like that.
People that are so...
Her name, Laura. But... Because these people, they're really good at manipulation. So chances are the $1.3 million loan, she spent half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it went in her pocket.
It's that the delusion level of them. Are they believing their own? I mean, what is going through these people's minds? Is it super nefarious? Like when you leave all these animals in the basement... As a dog rescue, quote unquote, are you really thinking this is a good idea, or is it just I'm going to look really good because I'm rescuing these dogs? I don't give a shit what happens.
No,
to them.
That is even a separate question from this woman, because I do know of people who bring in all these animals that they really can't handle. Mm-hmm. Because they are so concerned about them being put down or something. So they end up bringing way too many animals home. And it's out of the goodness of their hearts.
Yeah.
But then they can't control them. And then fights break out and things like that.
Yeah. And that's almost, I understand that, where it's like, it's the goodness of your heart. I mean, that's almost like an addiction thing to a certain extent. But then when you have the other element of this, where it's, I was married to a fighter pilot who died in a war. And that's not remotely what happened. And then there's all these delusional...
Because they do it for sympathy or scams or... Like, this woman that I knew, she... God, there's so many stories, but she she had somehow through work gotten in deep financial troubles. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden she got cancer and she had to move away. And she never had cancer.
Yeah.
But she told all these people she was dying. And then everybody's like, oh, that's so sad. She's dying. But she wasn't dying. She's still, I'm sure, alive, tormenting other people.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it just blew me away that, and there's a woman I know who hired her. And I was like, I wanted to call her and go, what are you thinking? Like, don't do this. But then I look like the crazy person because it's like, oh, no, she's really nice.
Yeah.
Because you really think she is. No.
It's that front that they put up initially, that it's that manipulation thing we were talking about earlier. And it doesn't always have to be management. It can be for almost any position. I remember having someone that was brought into a place that I worked, and it was very bizarre. Her stories never matched up. It was this grandiose type scenarios and stories that she would tell of, her ex-husband. I don't remember the exact details. It's been so many years, but this rings a bell to me. It might've been something along the lines of, died in action. And then you do a little research and it's like, there's no record of this whatsoever. And you just hear from other people who worked with the person like, oh, look the fuck out. And then you compare notes and it's like kind of variants of the same story that are changed all for manipulation. And it just gets crazier and crazier. The more the person's
around. I
don't
even get how you keep up with your own lies.
Yeah.
But those people are really good at it.
This like, person had
that
like,
woman. She was like, how'd I go? I think that like to borrow some money from people or something. She had McDonald's had like the boardwalk game or Monopoly game.
Okay.
Is that what McDonald's did years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
So she had won this huge grand prize and was just waiting for the money to come in. And there was no money coming in. She had never won. But, you know, these people were like, what? You won? And I mean, it's little lies that.
Yeah.
It's specifics in a lie that get people to buy it. It's not like, I matched the winning lotto tickets. If you get really specific about it, and it's the Monopoly game at McDonald's and you won the blah, 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 however, I never played it, then people will be like, what?
Yeah.
You won that? And you get, well, if you've got $1 million coming in, here's a loan of $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but there's just people are really good at it.
I just don't understand. Are they so entrenched in their lies that they actually believe them?
I don't know.
That's the weird thing.
I don't know.
Because sometimes they get tripped up, and when they get tripped up, then they're like, they're angry, borderline violent, sometimes violent. I remember things got so bad at this place, and I was her manager at this one place, and again, it's been so many years, I don't remember all the details, but it got to the point where we have to fire her because it was involving something with work, some sort of lie got caught up, and it was just, this cannot happen anymore. And I got the pleasure, it was a very fun one of having to say, okay, your time here is done. We wish you the best. And she went and locked herself in my office for 3 or 4 hours. And we had to have a security person come and get her out. And she was just sitting in there crying and screaming at me. I'm like, please get out. Yeah. You don't understand anything about me. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it doesn't matter. You can't be here anymore.
And those are the people you also have to be afraid of.
Yeah.
And they show up when you're walking into work before the sun comes up.
It was kind of disturbing. And then she took her Datsun dog and got into her Porsche and drove south. And it's funny because years later, I was talking with someone who also came across the path. And it was one of the first moments that we bonded over anything. And it was like, oh yeah, I worked here and there. And like, it's like, did you happen to work with so-and-so? I'm like, oh yeah, fired her. And she looks at me like, what? And then I shared some of the stories, and then this other boss shared the stories with me that what they went through. I'm like, oh God, yeah, it's the same crazy shit. We'll talk off the air, because I believe you've crossed paths as well with this
individual. Can't wait.
It's the fun, small world of radio. But it was just craziness. It's just one of those moments you go, how the fuck does that person's mind work? I just love to almost like sit down and just be like, look, all bets are off. I'm not mad at you. I don't care. But I really want to dig into your brain. And tell me, how are you thinking when you do this? What's the process? You know, just to get a better understanding. It's like I like watching the interviews with like serial killers and shit. Because it's like, how did this work? You know, how are you going and justifying this sort of thinking? It's very, very interesting to me.
Yeah, and those people, like, they're so good at it.
Yeah.
It can just look right at you and lie.
And then when you catch him in the lie,
they don't care.
It's almost less.
And there's another lie.
It's a letdown sometimes, because it's like, yep, that's what I did. You caught me at it. It's like when BTK was caught, and then he's like, yeah, and here's what I did. And it's just like, really? This is shocking, certainly, what you're saying. But it's like, it's just.
He was proud of it.
I know. It's like he was talking about like what he ordered for lunch at McDonald's. Yeah. When he was talking about who he killed and how he killed him. It's like, what the fuck?
He'd been waiting for years to be able to share that.
Yeah.
Because he thought he was so good.
It's almost like people like that, while not serial killers, we hope, for the most part. But I think it's that same, it's like, it's cut from the same cloth of ways of thinking and being able to process and deal with things and other people without regret. Or I don't know what the hell it is, but it's messed up. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. Be sure to press subscribe on us wherever you download podcasts, and give us a nice review there on iTunes, or an honest review on Apple Podcast iTunes. And then shoot me a screenshot of it, tony@officehorrorstories.com, and get in the drawing for that $100 gift card every single month. We pick a new winner, so do that. And thank you in advance. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.